This morning, we will continue our series on the Holy Spirit. And as Mark mentioned last week, in looking at the Holy Spirit, this wonderful, mysterious person, and all of the different things that we find scattered throughout Scripture on the Spirit, that it's a little bit like a puzzle putting this wonderful person kind of together to learn who he is. And he mentioned that the only way to begin to get a handle on a puzzle is to develop the edge pieces, if you recall what he said. And so I asked Terry Spiker if she would help me in this in putting a visual for you in the bulletin. And if you'll follow along with me, just following the puzzle there at the top, the Holy Spirit is revealing the Word of God to us, which is what is being prayed for this very moment, that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us what He wants us to know. On the right side, Holy Spirit draws us close to Christ. He makes us like Christ, and He is drawing us to Him that we will know that Christ is with us at all times. And at the bottom, the Holy Spirit's work is transforming us. He is bringing us closer and closer to the image of Christ and making us like Him. And then on the left side, the Holy Spirit is continually calling us to serve Him and to speak out what God is doing in our lives, that we would proclaim the truth of God's Word and the living Word of Christ Himself and what He is doing in our lives. The Spirit of God teaches us these things. Many people think of wisdom as the guidance for decisions, for tough choices I must make, or tough circumstances, and we seek the Spirit of God. And as we talk today about the wisdom of God, that is certainly true. But in trying to get my own arms around the wisdom of God, which is just a gigantic topic, I begin to see that the wisdom of God is so much bigger than just what we need for one incident in our life. And I was reminded of a first grade teacher who was wanting to help her students kind of grasp the concept of wisdom. And so she thought what she would do is take some of the common phrases that we kind of think of as wise things and ask the kids to, she'd say the first half and ask them to kind of come up with the second half. And so she said, strike while the, what? Right. And one little kid said, while the bug is close. I said, well, we'll try again here. A miss is as good as a, right. And one little girl said, as good as a mister. That's pretty good. Then she says, an idle mind is, that was workshop. One little boy said, well, that's the best way to relax. And she said, how about better safe than, he said, better safe than punch a fifth grader. And then she thought, well, maybe I'm not quite getting there, so I'm going to give you a whole one, and let's see if you can think about what it means. It says, you know, don't criticize someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. There's a long pause, and one little kid said, well, if he gets mad at you, at least you're a mile away and he's barefoot. Now, there's a lot of truth in that, a lot of wisdom in that. But when we talk about the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about something that is huge. What we're talking about is seeing life as God sees life. And then the ability to discern how to walk that way. Stand with me, if you will, if we read these four passages of Scripture. Two from the old and two from the new. Psalm 90. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And Solomon writes in Proverbs 2, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For God gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity." And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, "Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thought except the spirit of the person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart these words in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I do know freshly that wisdom begins with humility, and so last night I humbly submitted myself to my favorite audience, my wife, and preached my message to her with all vigor I could preach. And she looked and listened and kind of wrinkled her nose and said, "Well, it's got some good stuff in it, but I don't know how I'm going to remember all of that." She said, "You know, I think you need to tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them, and then tell them what you told them." So here's what I'm going to tell you. Moses tells us that wisdom comes from a whole life. It is a lifelong process. Solomon tells us that wisdom must be sought after. It is valuable. It must be pursued. And Paul tells us this wisdom only comes from the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray that the Spirit would give us that wisdom. Psalm 90, Moses writes the only psalm that Moses wrote. He writes it toward the end of his life. He is the great leader of Israel. And now, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness when God watched over his people, provided for all of their needs for 40 years, even kept their shoes from wearing out. Moses now finds himself as a funeral director. Because God had said this whole generation would die, over 2 million people came out of Egypt, and all 2 million died, except for a few. You do the math on that, and that's well over 100 funerals a day. Moses watched 100 funerals a day. It makes you think, well, this life, is it worth living? What do we learn from life? And so he prays. He said, Lord, teach us to number our days. He's not asking that we would know how long we live, but he is saying, teach us to number our days so that we will gain a heart of wisdom. In other words, as you look back over the whole of your life, you begin to realize that what God has been doing in your life has been good. He has intended you more good than you've ever dreamed of intending yourself. And all the things that you have gone through, the struggles, the ups and the downs, he's always been there walking with you in all aspects of that. And he has promised to us that he works all things for good for those who love him. And we look back on that and realize, wow, there's a whole life here that we need to examine. It's a wondrous thing. A difficult thing, but a wondrous thing when you do the funeral for an individual. I've done two in the last 10 days and another tomorrow. And it is wonderful to look at the life of a person and how God has worked over that whole life, the good that he has placed in that life, no matter how much difficulty they have experienced. No matter how much they've wandered away from the Lord, we're in his image, and there's wisdom to be gained. This psalm has four parts to it. He begins speaking about the greatness of God. He says, O God, thou hast been our help in ages past. The second part, he speaks of the frailty of man. He says, we are but dust. We're like the flowers of the field. We're here for a while, and then we're gone. And then he speaks of man's sin and the wrath of God, which is where this verse comes in and why it starts with, do I really examine what God is angry about? And then he ends with man's need for God's grace. And so here in this last thought before he moves to grace, he says, Lord, teach us to look at our lives, to see the whole picture. Because it's only when we step back and see the largeness of life do we begin to see the handprint of God. Well, Moses, examine your life. But how do we do that? Solomon says in the Proverbs, he speaks of the path or the way of wisdom. He uses the term path or way over 100 times in the book of Proverbs. And in this passage, chapter 2, he gives 8 commands in this one little section about wisdom. He says, receive my words, take them in fully, absorb them, understand them. Treasure them, prize them, treat them as valuable. They are valuable. I remember Edith Schaefer, Francis Schaefer's wife, used to say toward the end of Francis's days, especially when he was dying of cancer and was weak and really could barely raise the Bible up to look at it, that in the middle of the night, she said, I would often look over when I would sense him move, and he would had the Bible beside his bed, and he would simply just reach over and pat it. It was was so valuable to him. He treasured what was there. Make your ear attentive. Look for it. Listen for it. God is at work in everything in our lives. Incline your heart, meaning apply its truth to your heart. How does this affect me? How do I understand this, the meaning of your word? Call out for insight. In other words, ask for help. How does this work? How can I put this together in my life? Ask for it. He even says, raise your voice. Don't let your missing piece go. What is it that's not working in my life? What is it I'm not understanding in my life? And raise your voice. In other words, ask for it. Where, oh God, can I go to get some understanding about this? We're not alone in this life. And then he says, seek it like silver. Dig for it like a mine. Search it out, he says, with the idea that it's like gold. You know there's going to be gold there. And there will be. And so you look for it. You look for it. And gold you will find in the precious Word of God. I remember once reading Psalm 119. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. Get my arms around it, and then I realized that one of the other psalm writers had done the same thing, and he shortened it and put it all in Psalm 19. And so I was reading Psalm 19 and getting that little summary of it, and I ran across this phrase. It says, the fear of the Lord is clean. And I thought, that's odd. That doesn't make a lot of sense. What in the world does that mean? The fear of the Lord is good? The fear of the Lord is wise? What in the world? Why would he use the word clean? And I literally for weeks pondered over that. And I kept looking and looking and trying to figure it out. And I think the Spirit just kind of blocked my understanding just to see. I kept digging and looking and thinking, and finally all of a sudden it dawned on me, of course, if I fear God, I will want to confess. I will want to repent. I will want my life to be clean because I am in awe of this righteous, good, loving God. It makes sense. But we must search. We must seek it out. It's not always immediately present for us. And then he says, verse 6, 4, the Lord gives wisdom, knowledge, understanding. He even stores it up for his children. And he protects them when they walk in that wisdom. The Holy Spirit, as one person said, teaches the serious, not the curious. He wants you to dig and probe for it. Do I thirst for it? Do I deeply desire it? And so Solomon himself humbled himself when he became king, and he said, God, how do I rule these great people? I don't know how to do it. Would you give me a spirit of wisdom and insight? And 1 Kings 5, God came and spoke to him in a dream and said, because you have asked this, and you have not asked riches, you've not asked for power. You've not asked for fame. I will give you all of those things, but I will give you wisdom. And he became the wisest man the world had ever known. But how did he do that? Did God simply just download a program in his mind? No. If you read Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and the Song of Solomon, you read those, what you find is he constantly went to creation. And he learned the wisdom of God by looking at the hand of God. And he observed life. And he saw where most people live a life that is vanity. And what is really good. But he sought for it. and he taught it. Then we move to Paul. So Moses tells us that wisdom is over a whole lifetime. Solomon tells us that it must be pursued. And Paul reminds us that it only comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from the world. It doesn't come from within us. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And he reminds us of how unique the wisdom of God is. He said it is so unique in times past, it's been hidden. In other words, it hasn't been fully revealed. Even with what we have in the Old Testament, we don't have the full picture of it. It was ordained, he says, before the beginning of time. It was predestined. In other words, the wisdom of God was determined. This is how man shall live. And it was focused on us. The amazing of all things, the passage said, it was for our glory. Wow. For our glory that he sent this wisdom. And fourthly, he says that the unbeliever just cannot grasp it, cannot understand it. This wisdom is what comes to us because of the work of Christ. Because Paul is now helping us see the bigger picture of wisdom in a clearer way. It has been hidden in the past because it has now been revealed more fully in the gospel. And has been revealed more fully in Christ and has become a pathway to us because of the cross of Christ and the revealing work of the Holy Spirit. Please notice that in the center of the box, Paul reminds us, he says, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding. You see, in eternity past, when the decree of God was made, and that decree was a decree that included a huge picture. It had everything to do with election and foreknowledge and predestination and being chosen and being called. All of that was set in motion. And the call of God was given in eternity past, and it runs through the echoes and corridors of time until it comes down to a moment in your life, and all of a sudden, you hear it. God is real. And a friend of mine who I did a funeral recently for said, one day I simply, as a young man, was driving down the street. I came to a stop sign. He said, I simply threw up my hands and said, I now know that I know. Christ became real. And all for us. Notice verse 10. For to us God revealed them. And the them refers to all that he has prepared for us in verse 9. And all the things that are freely given to us in verse 12. All this happened because the Holy Spirit, he says, has three things happening here. Number one, he dwells in the believer. He now dwells in us. That's the uniqueness of the new covenant. Verse 13, he teaches us, as Jesus said he would in John 14, that he would guide you into all truth and reveal to us. And then he even tells us in this passage how he teaches us. Through the inspired words of Scripture, he helps us to combine the words of Scripture with spiritual thoughts, which help us interpret its meaning. In other words, as you are reading Scripture and you're praying for God to give you insight, there are thoughts that come to your mind about how what this means, how to understand it, how to explain it, how to unpack it. You know, when someone says, well, I think I understand it, but I just can't explain it. And what I say is, no, you can't. You don't understand. You need to be able to put some words to it. Think about it. What is this really saying? Paul then uses a comparison. And he says, the natural man is someone who doesn't know God personally, nor does he accept the things of the Spirit? They seem foolish to him. I remember once speaking to a young man, and I shared the gospel with him, And literally, he used those words. He said, Pete, he said, I thank you, but he said, you know, that's just foolishness. And I said, well, I didn't know you knew Scripture. And he said, what do you mean? And I took him to this passage, and I said, the natural man can't understand it. It's foolish to him. Well, I had his attention at that point. But see, the natural man can't grasp it. He just doesn't see it. Why? It's in a whole different realm. When we enter into the kingdom of light, we're in a whole different realm. And so he says, the believer, the spiritual man or woman, appraises and understands, interprets all things. The natural man can't understand or even appraise him. How? Because he's different. This doesn't mean as Christians we can't understand or appraise one another, but he's speaking of the non-Christian. The non-Christian has no ability to appraise a spiritual person because we're in a completely different realm of knowledge. The third thing he tells us the Holy Spirit does here is he matures us. He gives us discernment, which reminds me of Hebrews 5:14, where he says, solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. See, that's wisdom. That's what the Word of God does in building that wisdom into our life. And then Paul ends this amazing truth by saying that the Holy Spirit knows the mind of Christ. We have that mind, not that we have everything in that mind, but we have access to that mind because the Holy Spirit can give us the mind and thoughts of Christ. One of the great titles of Jesus is that he is the wisdom of God. In other words, in eternity past, when it was decided that mankind would exist, there would be a world, there was no other way that God could do it. And he said, the wisdom of God demands the Son of God. It demands the cross. It demands it. And in Christ, all of my wisdom will dwell. And that's why Paul prays then that we would be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. For it is knowing what God desires coupled with what God supplies that is the wisdom of life. Many of you have heard me tell this story before as it was so personal. I never can not think of it when I think of the word wisdom, but a young man asked me once, it was in a wheelchair, why God had made him that way. And I thought, how do I answer that? Oh, how do I answer that? But the Lord reminded me, the Spirit reminded me that I'd been reading that passage, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And so I just prayed quietly while I was talking with him. I said, Lord, you've got to give me wisdom. I don't know what to say. And I began to tell him things and think about things, and he began to brighten up and listen. And finally, you know, I got to where I couldn't wait to hear what I was going to say next. Because the wisdom of God just flowed. And it wasn't unusual in the sense it was words and thoughts of Scripture that I had never put together before. But you see, we don't rely on ourselves. It's not inside wisdom. It's a supply that is stored up. And when we face the difficult decisions, when we face the hard choices of life, when we face a circumstance and we say, Lord, I don't know what to do, the Lord says, ask. Ask. I will give you wisdom. And he does. So let me summarize. Moses reminds us that life is short. And wisdom is a way of living. Solomon reminds us that wisdom is to be pursued, that we're to seek and search and listen and to call out for it. And Paul tells us that we're to pray for it, that the Holy Spirit would fill us with wisdom that comes only from him. And so I would challenge you, examine your life. God has expressed His wisdom already in your life. If you had known the mind of God and everything that was in the mind of God, you would ask Him for exactly the life you've lived. Not that there isn't sin and pain that hasn't caused problems, but God has walked us through that, because we all walk through sin and problems and pain. But it's been His wisdom to walk us through as we live in a fallen, ugly world. And He sustains us. So examine your life. You know, when Moses died, Deuteronomy 34 tells us that Moses was 120 years old. I hope I don't live that long. But it says, when he died, his eye was undimmed and his vigor unabated. And it says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hand upon him. Wow. Passing on what is good in your life. Secondly, what is your search plan? How are you searching for the wisdom of God in the Scriptures and the words of God? Ask for help. Wisdom humbles yourself. You know, we've been in West Dallas for 10 years. And we are just now beginning to understand what God wants. These dear people, they want to be our friends. They appreciate our money. They appreciate our time. But they want more than anything else for us just to come and be their friends. And when we come and be their friend, and we work side by side with them, and we clean up some areas, and we plant some flowers, and we wash buses and so forth, some of us might think, well, what does that really accomplish? You know what it accomplishes? It says, we're here, and we're not going away, because we are your friends. My friends, please mark your calendar, because when we show up, it means the world to them. And because we have shown up, guess what? Look on the back of your bulletin. They are now showing up in other places of the city doing the same thing. And thirdly, pray. For wisdom is stored up for you. The Holy Spirit is there to be your guide. Call upon Him and ask Him to give you a heart of wisdom, mind of understanding for all of life, not just for one crisis. Our great and magnificent God, we thank You that You are wise, that You are good, and that You intend us good, more good than we've ever dreamed of intending ourselves. Bless us, and we thank You that You will. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.